Hey Shoujo fans, and welcome to episode 30 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, we will be reviewing episodes 7 through 9 of Ouran High School Host Club. Let's dig in.
Believe this is episode 30. Episode 30 comes out the year that we turn 30.
I love this for us.
Yes, I do.
I mean, I'm excited to turn 30. I don't know. Yes and no, but we maybe let's not. Anyway, yeah. This week we are heading into episode 7, Jungle Pool SOS, and here is our soft serve summary brought to us by the lovely people over at Wikipedia. The host club drags Haruhi to an Otori-run water park where a wave pool separates Honey from the others. Haruhi and Mori set out to look for him, and during their search, she learns that the two hosts are cousins by marriage. Meanwhile, Kyoya hires his family's private police force, the Black Onion Squad, to look for Honey and arrest any suspicious people. The squad mistakes Haruhi for Honey, and Mori is a suspicious person. Honey swings in on a vine, amazing Haruhi with his martial arts ability in subduing the guards, who apologize profusely for attacking Haruhi and Mori and claim to be honored to be beaten by the great Mitsukuni Haninozuka, nationally renowned martial artist. The host club reunites, and Haruhi mentions that she would prefer visiting an actual beach. And that's our soft serve summary for episode 7. Chika, do you have any theme ideas?
I just said that there is more to someone that meets the eye.
Yes! Oh, we were on the same page. I put, don't assume somebody's capabilities or skills based on their appearance.
I mean, we're usually in alignment.
Right. I love it. All right, do you have any sprinkles on tap?
Nope. Not this week, guys. Sorry.
Me neither. Super sorry. I think I might have said this before. I can't remember. I feel like Ouran isn't really a show that's jam-packed with a lot of symbolism.
Yeah. It just depends really on the episodes. There's so many. So it's like, you know.
Some leave more room for it.
Right.
But anyway, let's get into Floats Your Boat. What is one of your likes?
So I was just going to say, despite what goes on, I think the tropical aqua garden is very nice looking.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I kind of wanted to go there, except like I'll stay away from the alligators.
Right. The alligators, the cops.
Oh, yeah. Imagine going to a water park and there's like a whole ass police force.
Turn my ass right around, because why are you there? That means something bad happened.
Right. Like, no thank you. I love that the episode opens with Tamaki seriously stating to Haruhi, we're so worried about keeping our good looks day and night that we deserve a little vacation, as if that's the strife that he has to deal with, you know?
Yeah.
What a life where that's the stress.
I wish.
Right?
You know what? I do wish I could have like a vacation like that.
Oh, same.
Going to like the tropical place, all expenses paid. It sounds really nice.
That sounds like a dream. And honestly, even though the host club was like kind of used as guinea pigs to test out the resort, I honestly think it's really nice that Kyoya's family allowed Kyoya to bring his clubmates there. You need people to test stuff out, and it's not like they're testing out something dangerous, they're testing out a resort. Like, I think that's really nice.
I think as business-minded as his family is, I also like that, you know, what Kyoya's is also his friends.
Yeah. My next Floats Your Boat's a really random one. I don't know if you have anything else more substantial.
Well, one of the things I was going to say, because I guess, you know, I try to compartmentalize in these episodes.
Oh, yeah. Same.
It was funny that the attendants and the twins both get laser eyes when they're trying to get Haruhi to try on swimsuits. That's the only part. Okay, that's the only part is the laser eyes. It's just funny. But The rest of it wasn't.
I love the comedic touches are great.
But as actual substantial, like, is that I like the fact when Renge shows up, which it's...
powerful motor.
Powerful motor. Every episode. And it gets me every time.
Me too.
But she shows up and, like, she has this fake tattoo on her stomach and she says she's cosplaying this character named Lala. But then one of the twins said, oh, Lala, like the magazine. And what's so cool about that is Lala magazine, it's a shoujo magazine in Japan, and that's actually where Ouran was first published.
Oh, what an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah. So I just love when I just find random shit like that. I was just like, wait, is it like, when they said like Lala magazine, I was like, I know what that is. Like, okay, being a shoujo head has paid off.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
My random floatier boat was the powerful motor. But the next thing that I have is the revelation that Honey is completely aware of how adorable he is and that he acts cuter just to get reactions out of people.
Right? But to be honest, like, don't we all do that?
We should all know that we're cute and then just act accordingly.
Yes. Like, I am a cute person and therefore I should act that way.
Yeah.
And if you acknowledge it or not, it's fine. Like, babies do it all the time, too. Like, I mean...
My cat does it. I know she does it.
Yeah, like, they want something and they're gonna start acting cute.
Yeah, sometimes when she wants you to play with her, she'll do this thing where she'll lay on her back and she'll kind of, like, you know, put her paws up and it's, like, real cute. And she'll just, like, look at you and she's laying on her back. And you go to pet her and she immediately, gets up and walks over to her toys.
So Lei is such a cutie.
She is. I love her. She just turned 8. We just had her 8th birthday. It'll probably be quite a while from when this actually comes out. But it was just her 8th birthday. As we're recording, I got her a rocket ship bed.
Yes, she needs the rocket ship bed so that she can go and visit Paida. Paida's birthday was also in February. So happy belated, Paida, if you're listening.
Yes, Pisces queens. I love it. But speaking of Honey, I absolutely love Honey and Mori in the wave pool swimming, but going nowhere.
Right. I would have given up. Like, that is not my kind of vacation.
No, it's great exercise, though.
It is. It is. But why would I want to do that?
No. Right. No, I just want to lay there and, like, write on the side. I do like to go for a swim. I do like a good swim. But I'm also the type who's like, when I have nothing to do and I'm in a setting and it's just relaxing, I'm like, oh, I want to write something. So that's what I would probably be doing.
Right. Like, no, because, like, I've never been to, like, an indoor...
Yeah, maybe not at an indoor thing, but, like, I'm thinking more specifically at, like, the beach or maybe the poolside.
Right. Yeah. Like, writing and just, like, going through a magazine, trying to get a tan if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I like that, speaking of Honey, I love that Kyoya participated in the analysis of Honey with Renge too.
Yeah.
I love Renge just showing up, like, anywhere.
Via the powerful motor.
Yes, and then just seeing, like, Kyoya, like, play along with her.
Yeah, it was kind of nice to see them, like, working together.
Yeah. Also, this entire episode, I say that like it's such a big thing. But Haruhi was noticing Mori a lot, and I was like, same.
Yeah. Actually, my next floats your boat was Haruhi very calmly offering Mori a drink when he decides to take a break from swimming with Honey. I just really love that casual moment between them. It's like, here are the two normal ones in the group just trying to take a deep breath.
Right, and the thing about it for me was that I was waiting for, like, Tamaki to just have his, like, spider senses go off, that somebody was gonna have an indirect kiss with Haruhi before he did.
Wow. Yeah. That would have been really funny. It would have been interesting to see how that would have gone off. But now I'm just, like, thinking of it in my head. Mori just would have, like, flicked him on the forehead and that probably would have been it.
Right. But I was waiting for it. It didn't happen. I was just like, oh, see? Okay.
Yeah. So, speaking of Mori, I'm just going to mash these two next floats your boats into one. I feel so bad that he slips on 2 plot bananas in this episode on his way to save Honey. But I just put it in floats your boat because the plot bananas absolutely send me every time. But with Honey getting lost, we already touched on this kind of like before we even got into Floats Your Boat, but there's real fucking alligators. No matter what route they try to take, it's just, nope, sorry, there's alligators. You might die.
Yeah, and like people die for real. Like they eat people. I mean, usually it's the elderly and infants, but
oh,
that's dark. Sorry.
They're like modern day dinosaurs. It's terrifying.
Yes. And you know what else? Like their little cousin, the Komodo dragon, they're scary too.
They're scary, but they're also like super cool.
They're cool in like over there type of way.
Yes. From an afar kind of thing. Yeah. It's super cool like on my screen.
Yeah. I was also going to say, was Haruhi just trying to cheer Mori up? Because he was slipping on plot bananas, but at first you're just thinking like he's so out of sorts that Honey is not around.
Yeah.
And so she just, you know, pats him and is just like, oh, he's gonna be fine. He can eat bananas off trees.
Yeah, like she's really doing her best. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
But Tamaki's immediately like, he's out for my spot as Haruhi's daddy. And the twins immediately are like, nobody wants that spot.
Yes, it felt like a fourth wall moment. Just like the twins being like, you're a big pervert.
Yeah, they were speaking for us.
Yes.
Also, speaking of Mori and Haruhi, Mori calls her by her first name for the very first time when she comes to help him find Honey. It's just, and you already said, like, it was nice to see them kind of noticing each other, but I think we're really seeing, like, their bond grow during this episode.
Yeah, I think, like, this particular part of the manga was where the ship began for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh, he said her name, he picked her up. Guys? He picked her up. I was so jealous. I was like, pick me up. I'm just telling you, like, if you guys wanted to date me, like, in another life, let's talk hypothetically. Yes. So if y'all wanted to date me and then y'all were, like, tall and picked me up with my consent, I would be so ecstatic because being like a fun sized person, like, yes, it's fun sometimes, but honestly, it can be boring. Like, I can't see shit. Like, concerts are so hard.
Concerts are really hard.
There's just taller people, and it's like, even the schmedium people.
Schmedium?
They get in my way. So.
Oh my God. The worst is when you're at a concert and you've like set yourself in like the perfect little spot, and you can just see just enough of the stage through all the people that are taller than you. And then someone just like comes and stands right in that spot. It's the most infuriating thing.
Yes, but that's why I know, like, side note, if there's ever a Shiny concert and I'm able to go, which hopefully I can because Taemin is gonna be out of the military and then all of Shiny's gonna be done with the military so they don't ever have to be separated again.
Oh.
But anyway, if they ever go on like a world tour and I have my light stick, y'all tall people in front of me, you better move out the way because I'm gonna be using that light stick to move you.
Make way for Chica Supreme.
Yes. Okay, because then I'm going to use that light to knock your lights out. Just kidding.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I didn't, you guys.
We don't condone violence.
We don't condone violence. If y'all hear about anything, no, you didn't.
No, yeah. I just have one more Floats Your Boat. I don't know about you.
Oh, same.
It's kind of the obligatory, Honey is a martial arts master. And they refer to him as the dreadnought of the Honey Nezuka family. And he's literally classified as a military weapon.
Right. Like, he started kicking their ass. And I was just like, ooh, Honey said ACAB, let's go. Yeah. All cops are bad. Okay, maybe I don't feel like putting qualifiers out, y'all, if you're good.
Right.
But yeah, so he started kicking their ass. I was just like, yeah, you better kick their ass. But anyway, let me not get too into that because that's actually like an ice cream, you scream moment as well.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah. But I like that he was like, I'm going to protect my friends. And he comes on his Tarzan swing.
Yeah.
And it's like, just starts kicking people's ass. I was like, wait, okay.
Yeah, I loved the very first time that I watched this. I can't remember my exact reaction, but I was just so excited by that plot twist. You know, the one who looks like he should be the youngest, but he's the oldest and he carries the stuffed bunny around. Of course, he's literally classified as a military weapon because he's so good at martial arts.
Right. Even it just goes into our theme of the there's more than meets the eye. Like, yeah. You would just expect that, you know, Mori Senpai is the one that would have all the power. But it's like, actually, Honey is quite strong and it's cool.
Yeah. Moving on into Banana Split, I just have one. What about you?
Oh, I had three.
Okay.
So I was Banana Split about the casual discussion of what to do to find Honey. And it's just like, is Honey drowning? Like,
oh my God. I don't know why I didn't think of that. But you're right.
Yeah. It looks like he's in this strong current. And usually if they get into a current and you don't get to them fast enough, they could drown. Like, I mean,
right.
Which thankfully that didn't happen. But I was just like, why are y'all just calmly talking about what to do?
Yeah. Where is the urgency?
Yeah. And the lifeguards.
Oh my God. Right. It's literally a water park.
Right. Ooh, Kyoya's talking about he's getting data. Where are your lifeguards?
Yeah, I guess that's something he really learned that day.
Mm-hmm.
So my banana split is probably going into something that you had in Ice Cream, You Scream. I think I put it in banana split just because it's Oron and it's like over the top and stuff. I just find it kind of hilarious, but also I guess a little infuriating that the private police were ordered to eliminate any suspicious figures when I'm pretty sure the club exclusively had the resort that day. Like, who else would be there?
That was one of my banana splits too.
Okay.
Where did that come from?
Right. Any suspicious figures? Like what? Like who?
You are the suspicious figure.
I was gonna say, you're the shady one here, Kyoya.
Yeah. The last banana split that I had was, I guess, just the Tamaki daddy thing.
Oh, which, yeah.
Because it was just like, okay, fourth wall, twins calling him a perv. And I was like, yes, call him a perv. But then his insistence on, like, I guess he wants to have authority over Haruhi in some way. And, like, the only way you could do that while she's a minor is being her father. But then that's also weird because he wants to, like, be with her. So it's just very Freudian.
Yeah, it's a very weird dynamic. And that was my biggest obstacle on, like, whether or not I should ship Haruhi and Tamaki.
Yeah.
Because the daddy things a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some of the layers peeled back more, I guess, later in the series, but it's he's gotta let that go.
Right. And it's like, I know that, you know, when people are grown, right? That's a thing.
Yeah, yes.
when the relationship turns carnal, that sometimes becomes a thing. But as minors, no.
No.
It just doesn't really make sense.
No.
Although I do think that that's generally weird anyway. Well, maybe, you know what? If there are any men that listens to Shoujo Sunday and you decide to have a family and you want to ruin that for your, like, daughters or femme-presenting children, just make sure that your children call you daddy. For real. Because nothing fucks with your head, really. Then, like, oh, like, I actually call my dad daddy in real life. And then you get in a relationship and then somebody is just like, oh, well, like, I'm your daddy. It's like, oh, gross.
Absolutely not.
Yikes.
Never say that again.
Don't ever do that. Get away from me. Like,
yeah.
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 But that's all I had.
Okay. Heading on into Ice Cream, You Scream. I think it's nice that the twins wanted to let Haruhi have any bathing suit she could have ever possibly wanted from their mother's design collection. And it's, like, partially adorable that Tamaki doesn't know how to handle his developing feelings for Haruhi, but it's a fucking lot for him to tell her to cover up. Mm. And it's very reminiscent of my Catholic school days. Like, specifically when, like, we didn't have to wear the uniform on, you know, dress down days or whatever. When they're like, cover your shoulders or no shorts, even on 90 degree days, because, like, you shouldn't be showing that much skin in front of, like, your male teachers. I'm like, if my male teachers are distracted by my teenage shoulders, I think that they're the problem.
I feel like this has happened historically to women, like, so much.
And it's still happening.
And it still happens, where it's just, like, you can't control yourself, therefore you try to control someone else's image by making them feel shame for something that you yourself, it's a personal issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Her bathing suit to begin with, I mean, yes, he likes her, but I don't even know why he would look at her and be attracted to that, because the design of it is very kiddish to me.
Yeah, it's like juvenile and very conservative.
Yeah, so him just being like, I can't handle it, put this on, is very weird.
Yeah, and it also bothers me that he has no problem with Renge in a bikini because he's not possessive over her. He feels possessive of Haruhi and he just wants to control how others perceive her. And I'm not a fan of that behavior.
I'm just not either. I'm not. And Haruhi's just trying to live her life. And to be honest, she didn't even want to go on the vacation to begin with. But she didn't give a shit about wearing, like, the outfit that he gave her because of the fact she didn't feel like participating in the first place. But if she did want to, I would just take offense to the fact that he's trying to tell her that she's not proper. I just don't like that. I can't. I don't like, like that she's not proper because he can't handle seeing so much of her skin. But he's always craving for her to dress like a girl.
Yeah, it's like you can't pick and choose, you know? Like, let her be.
Yeah, he's just a paradox in general.
Yeah, he is. I just have one more ice cream you scream if you want to take it away.
Oh, okay. Taking Haruhi on a vacation she didn't ask for.
Yeah.
It just goes back to my dislike of, like, the dubious or, like, lack of consent. Of, like, her lack of consent amongst the boys. It's just they want to do something and she's along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just something that I'm going to feel throughout the series.
Yeah.
The other thing that I didn't particularly like was also the description of Mori and Honey's family relationship.
That's what I have too. Yeah.
I get that sort of thing happens, but hereditary servitude is no.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it, honestly. Like, no. They're like, what a beautiful story. And Haruhi's like, again, kind of like a fourth wall break, speaking for all of us, I don't think that was a very beautiful story. And I appreciate her reaction, at least.
Yeah, because no.
No, absolutely not.
There's so many layers, guys. There's so many layers to this. And I mean, if you want to look at it, I'm not even going to get into it from a U.S. standpoint, but you should already know what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I got you. No.
The last thing that I had was actually about the cops.
Okay.
You shouldn't hold guns at mine.
Right. Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were armed. They were fully armed.
Fully armed and aiming. It wasn't even like a ask questions. And I know that they had that weird, eliminate suspicious, like, people.
Figures.
Yeah. Like, demand order. I know that they had that, but I don't know. Like, obviously, Mori is tall, but Mori is also a minor. And so in that sense, it's just kind of like, okay, now thinking of it from his perspective, has he always been forced to act like an adult just because he grew faster than his counterparts? And so now you're treating him as if he's an adult. And rather than asking questions, you're just already ready to, like, shoot to kill.
Yeah, that's a lot. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then even the fact that they were trying to grab Haruhi, it's like, why don't you, before you would do something like that, why don't you ask questions of, can you say, like, who you are? Because since they're on Kyoya's property, Haruhi could very well have just been like, I'm a girl, I'm not a boy. One. So then they would know that they aren't who they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But then outside of that, they should ask questions to ascertain if this is the right person that they're looking for. Then to just be like, okay, who are you with? Are you with Kyoya and everything? Like, using the process of elimination to figure out, oh, we don't need to aim our guns at these people. And I think maybe just because of the way that life is now, especially in the US with so many different, like, cases of gun violence, it's just, I know that it's just a joke, but it's not okay.
Yeah.
You should ask questions before you start aiming your guns at people.
Yeah, they really just ran in there blindly, essentially, when they didn't fully establish the situation.
Right. Because it's like, why would I just go with somebody that is tugging on my arm and not explaining who they are and why they're trying to take me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only, that's it for me for Ice Cream, Ice Cream.
That's it for me too. So we're going to head into episode 8, The Sun, the Sea, and the Host Club, our soft serve summary. The Host Club visits a beach in Okinawa with customers. Hikaru and Karu invent a game of finding out what frightens Haruhi. Kyoya hypes up the competition by offering photos of Haruhi in middle school, but declines to explain how he obtained them. In turn, the other hosts unsuccessfully try to scare Haruhi. She later confronts two drunken trespassers who threaten some of the girls, so they push her off a rock face into the ocean. Tamaki rescues Haruhi, then rebukes her for being reckless, causing them to avoid each other for the rest of the day. Noticing that Haruhi fails to understand her vulnerability, Kyoya pins Haruhi to his bed while they are alone at the Otori family resort home, saying, "As a man, I could go after you at any time, and as a woman, you couldn't stop me." Haruhi replies that she knows he will not harm her, adding, "You played the villain to teach me, right?" Kyoya leaves when Tamaki enters the room, after which Tamaki discovers that Haruhi suffers from brontophobia, a fear of thunder. Look at Wikipedia throwing out the real phobia name. The club walks in to see Tamaki covering Haruhi's eyes and ears to help her with her phobia, and the twins accuse him of being an, quote, SNM pervert. And that is our soft serve summary of episode 8. Okay, Chica, do you have a theme?
Yes, I said understand where people are coming from before punishing them for what you deem a slight.
Okay, I like that you took it to, like, a teachable angle. This, I will say, Ouran's, like, my favorite anime. This episode pisses me off every time I watch it. So I wrote a theme, but it's a theme I put, I do not agree with this theme, but this seems to be the thing. This episode very strongly implies that a woman shouldn't stand up for herself if she's against men. And I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a hot... Wait, let me look to see if it's a hot fudge. Oh, yeah.
Oh, then we both have the same hot fudge. That'll be a fun little rant session later.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna have to get it out. We gotta get the anger, the fire.
Yeah. Do you have any sprinkles on top? Oh, wait, you said you had none this episode, right?
Yeah.
I don't have a sprinkle on top, per se, except that, hey, guys, it's Ouran's obligatory beach episode.
It is!
Yes, if you listened to our Maid Sama review, which definitely go listen to our Maid Sama reviews, there are our baby episodes of us turning into a podcast. We talked about how in shoujo, there's always, like, the obligatory beach episode, where they all have to go to a beach for some reason, and then there's, like, you know, bathing suit antics or beach antics and drama or whatever. So this is Ouran's obligatory beach episode. Love to see it.
Yep. And the title of this episode too.
Absolutely the title of this episode. Let's get into Floats Your Boat. I only have 4 Floats Your Boat for this episode. What do you have?
Ooh, twins.
Ooh, okay. What if we had all the same stuff?
We'll see. We'll see.
You can kick it off if you want.
I thought that it was interesting that they immediately wanted to go to the beach with Haruhi.
Yeah, honestly, it's really sweet that they're like, you want to go to the beach? Let's go to the beach. And they immediately plan a whole day, even if it's for work, essentially, around that.
Right. Like, which I guess it's sort of funny because Kyoya, like, you can go to this resort because I need to get data and you can do that for free and you're not working. But if we're going to a beach, you're going to be working.
I guess in a way they were working without really knowing it at the water park.
True.
Because he was gathering data on them.
True, true. It's just they didn't have, like, the girls there to, like, entertain.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting that they wanted to go to the beach with her immediately. I will say, sort of banana split on that point. Y'all can take her to a beach, but you know she wanted that tuna.
Right.
A couple episodes ago.
Where's the fancy tuna?
Why didn't you get her fancy tuna? That's so much easier to get than just going to this beach.
Coordinating everybody's schedule to go to the beach for a day. Just Haruhi deserves fancy tuna. Get her some fancy tuna.
Right. I think maybe, well, we do get to see her eat this time. So
that's true.
But still, I think they should do that more. Maybe now they have more of a vested interest in wanting to do what she likes now. So if she talks about what she likes now, then they're going to start doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to think that, you know, they are like slowly getting closer, you know. I mean, at this point in the anime, they're still kind of like, eh. Mm-hmm. It's like they're interested in Haruhi as like a shiny new thing. And Haruhi's there because she has to be. They're not really overlapping like friendship quite yet. Her and the twins are a little bit because they have classes together, so they spend more time together, but not so much the whole group. She doesn't feel like she's wholly part of it yet, at least for me at this point in the series.
Right.
But that's not Floats Your Boat. That's just a random observation I had right now.
True. Oh, it's your turn.
Okay, the very first Floats Your Boat that I have is The Theater of Tamaki's Mind. I love this concept, first and foremost. It's so funny because he just has these out-of-this-world daydreams. But he had such a funny little daydream. It was sweet, actually, of him and Haruhi having a romantic stroll on the beach together at sunset. And she's in a dress, and she's just, like, kind of talking to him and tucking her hair behind her ear. It's really innocent and adorable, and I like this side of Tamaki's feelings for Haruhi.
To be honest, it's more of a banana split for me, but I can understand. I understand why you would like it, because it's like, oh, he likes her so much that he's envisioning like positive moments that could possibly happen between them.
Yeah,
which people do normally do that. It's just that he's a man.
Yeah, I will say I am guilty of that. I can be one of those people.
Yeah, it's just that he's a man.
Oh.
I guess no offense to men, but then sort of offensive. Well, no, like, okay, it's like 25% offense, not full offense, just 25%, because the 25% goes to the people who like have these fantasies, and then it just goes left.
Okay, yeah, if it goes left, then it's like a concern, but I think it's very sweet, at least this one.
It's very sweet, though.
Compartmentalizing his, you know, behaviors and stuff towards Haruhi.
Yes, yes. I had just the sheer opulence, because, like, you know, the cops from the last episode, they had to make up for the fact that, you know, they were pulling guns on minors.
Yeah.
So in this episode, they decided to bring shellfish to the Okinawan private beach because they're not natural to that beach, but they knew that Honey would like it.
That's so cute.
It was very cute.
I had that too. It's so sweet.
Yeah. This is just like, oh, like he was so like looking forward to, so happy. And then
yeah,
Haruhi got really excited by it.
Oh my God. She is so precious when she gets excited about food. Speaking of like Tamaki and like his feelings towards Haruhi, they have a very, very cute back and forth when Tamaki picks up one of the crabs. He's like, isn't it crabtivating? And she laughs, and he thinks to himself that her excitement and laughing at that was just so cute. I just love that moment between them. It's very sweet.
Me too. It's just like, finally, you're on the same wavelength. Like, you're actually paying attention to what she's saying, and then she's responding happily towards it. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that Haruhi showed that all women aren't afraid of bugs.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, me, I would just say that it came after a long line of terrible apartments. Guys.
Oh, you do kind of get desensitized if you're seeing stuff a lot.
Yeah. Like, by the time I left my last apartment, like, this is a little sadistic, but I started, like, burning them.
Oh my God.
Sometimes, I'm sorry. Like, it was just, I mean, I'm not sorry. It is what it is. It's, like, a little sadistic and bad, but I was just like, I'm so tired of seeing these fucking roaches. Like, I'm starting, like, I need to get my aggression out. And that's kind of fucked up, but it is what it is.
I, on the other hand, still feel like I have committed a crime when I kill a bug.
Yeah.
That's just me personally. I am way too sensitive for my own good.
Yeah, see, I've been through like the war.
Well, yeah, what you were telling me about your last apartment, I honestly don't blame you.
Yeah. Wasn't that in our Cat Returns episode? Guys, did you like that episode? Wasn't it fun?
Guys, that episode was so fun.
It was so funny. Like, we did not have a good time watching the movie.
Yeah, we didn't have a good time watching the movie, but the way we just derailed the conversation about it at every turn made me really happy.
Yeah, it was so fun. But yeah, I think at the end of the episode, I was talking about like my terrible like pest experiences with apartments. So yeah, like once you get to, after you see it like way too much and like you're trying to do all the right things, you do like the little bombs, you get the sticky pads, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And like these fuckers are still in your apartment.
Oh, I think it was Whisper of the Heart. I'm sorry. Because we were talking about...
Was it Whisper of the Heart?
We were talking about how could they ever move out of their apartment with all those books. And then we were talking about moving, I think.
No, I think I did it in both.
Oh, you might have in both, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were talking about how Haru got like those presents and they gave mice. And yeah. Then I talked about my experience with mice and pet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. So it's sort of both.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like once like, it just gets to a point, like, you know, you just you pull your lighter out. Like, but anyway, I digress. I like that Haruhi showed that she, like all women are not afraid of bugs and handling them.
Yeah.
They're just kind of distasteful, but you know, it's for the good of all people. And that's just actually a show of Haruhi's character.
Yeah.
If she can help, then she's going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just have one more Floats Your Boat, and I'm very excited about it.
Same. I wonder if we have the same one.
We probably do. I wrote like a little, not a paragraph, but a few sentences.
Okay.
So, Haruhi tries to nonchalantly go into a wardrobe to hide from the thunder, and it is so cute. She's like, I just remembered there's some business I need to take care of inside a wardrobe. So, despite this episode having some of my very least favorite moments of the series, this thunder scene is one of my favorites of the series with her and Tamaki, because he's outside the wardrobe. He's like, what business do you have in a wardrobe? It's so cute. And it honestly gives me the chills when he's gently like, are you afraid of thunder and lightning? And she's hiding behind the doors and he's speaking to her so gently. And then thunder crashes with a flash of lightning and she leaps out of the wardrobe into his arms. Ugh. It just gets to me every single time.
Yeah, I love it too. Like she was able to finally have somebody there to comfort her.
Mm-hmm.
And then his like then assertion of I'll always be there for you. I love it.
Yeah. It's like when Tamaki matures up, you know, and he gets serious about something, he's excellent. And you know, he's just got to get there. He's got to keep growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. And like once he does it, it does happen.
Yeah.
But I love seeing that because it's so needed after the weird gags of him trying to like be her dad and like sort of trying to control how she appears to other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's all I had for Floats Your Boat. Did you have anything else?
Same. No.
Oh, cool. I just have one banana split point. Do you have any?
I have, although I think one of them just should go into Hot Fudge. So yeah, I just have one.
Well, I was going to say mine leads into Hot Fudge. So if you want to do yours first.
Right. Okay. So the one that I have is, how did Kyoya get those photos of Haruhi?
Right. Because that's concerning. I mean, there is talk later in the series, which guys, if you're listening to this, and this has been out since 2008. I am sure that you've seen it by now, or quick spoiler warning. Kyoya does seem to have like a rapport built with Haruhi's dad. I don't know if maybe he worked something out with him for those photos.
Possible.
Which is like really disturbing.
He probably missiled him.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, give us the photos because we're going to use it for something good. And then.
Yeah, that's probably it. Like, yeah, we're doing a little scrapbook of all the hosts in middle school. Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm like slowly discovering every episode that I have a really problematic faith.
Right.
Damn the glasses.
Ooh, please. Ooh, yikes, especially this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess we should get into your banana split that so we can get into Hot Fudge.
Yeah, this will be a transition right into Hot Fudge.
Yeah.
All I really have to say is that there's this scene where Tamaki jumps off of the rock face into the water after Haruhi to save her. And I just thought that that alone compartmentalized is really nice foreshadowing for the thing that happens way, way later in the series. And that's just interesting to see on a rewatch. And that's the only positive thing, or like, I guess, neutral thing I have to say about that particular scene. The rest is Hot Fudge.
Yeah, so I guess to get into Hot Fudge,
it's like, where do we start?
Right. So Haruhi was trying to protect the girls that were on the trip because these weird men were trying to take advantage of them. which there are so many layers to this. But to begin with, Haruhi standing up for those women, Haruhi is a woman for women. Because if I saw a girl in an uncomfortable situation, and maybe this is just a normal, like, solidarity amongst, like, the sisterhood amongst women that we all know, right? Like, if you're at a concert, you're at a bar, you're wherever, and it looks like a woman is in trouble. If you aren't calling the police or, like, sending over a guy friend or whatever to go help that woman, then the next thing you can do, right, is to physically go there yourself. So yeah. Then it's just like doing a buddy system, right? Of like, oh, there's more than one person that's witnessing this. Maybe that is enough to freak you out. And I applaud Haruhi for not just standing by and watching as those girls are like manhandled, possibly could have been assaulted or whatever. I'm glad that she said something. Because women can do that, you know? You don't have to be this super strong person or whatever to stand up for someone else. Mm-hmm. And that was a very scary situation for them. And if Haruhi was in that same predicament, I bet she would want, if only girls were around, I bet she would want them to speak up for her the way that she spoke up for them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, Haruhi was the one who was there and felt that she was able to do something about it. So what was she supposed to do? Scream, guys, come over, help. When she was there and capable of, she had a bucket full of shellfish that she was able to throw at them. Like, she was able to do something about the situation. And like you were saying earlier, like, women gotta look out for women, you know, femme-presenting people, you know, we all gotta look out for each other. And I work at a club. And I keep my eye out, you know, I overhear people's conversations in the bathroom, you know, I see if there's someone acting shady. Like, I have gone silently to management, you know, me and the girls in the band, and been like, hey, this person out there really doesn't seem like they're acting appropriately with, like, the women in the bar. Maybe keep an eye on them. And, you know, something's done about it. You know, we all gotta look out for each other. And I...
Yeah.
The fact that the club is ganging up on Haruhi for standing up for these girls is, like, my most hated plot line in the whole show.
It's very misogynistic.
Yeah. He's like, what made you think you could stand a chance? You against two boys? Don't forget, you're a girl. Again, like, not to, like, blast back to, like, previous stuff we've covered, but I'm thinking again back to Usui and Misaki in the back at Maid Latte when he's like pinning her against the lockers being like, don't forget you're a girl.
Yeah.
You know, like, excuse you, you know, it doesn't matter like what my gender or sex is. Like, I'm gonna stand up for myself.
Right.
And I don't, like, we don't necessarily need to be protected. It's nice that, like, again, like, they were in a situation where something had to be done. But, like, Haruhi was capable of doing the thing. I'm going in circles, but like, this episode kills me.
Yeah. Yeah. She was capable of saying something. And I just don't like the fact that they have this mindset where they're underestimating women. Mm-hmm. And then they're trying to force Haruhi to apologize for saying something. Like, fuck you. No, like, if she can go and help these other girls out, then she can. And yes, those girls don't know that she's a girl, okay? But regardless, like, they saw that Haruhi was there. What would that do to them to see Haruhi run off instead of going to help?
Yeah. And they need Haruhi to be perceived as a man so badly, you know? It's like, damned if she does, damned if she doesn't.
Right. And then on top of it, it's just like, I just hated the fact that Tamaki was trying to push it as if you're this girl, you need to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And if until you apologize, I'm not fucking talking to you. First of all, right? This is supposed to be a private beach, Kyoya's beach. You had all of these fucking cops delivering shellfish. So where the fuck were they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are the overbearing cops now?
Right. If you want to start placing blame, you had your cops on your property. And why weren't they doing their job to make sure that people that aren't supposed to be on that beach weren't on that beach? And instead, Haruhi was put in that position of, you know what? These women are in trouble. I'm going to do what I can to help them. So it's their fault.
Yeah.
It's not her fault. And I just feel like them, Tamaki being so fussy about it, it's like, first of all, you were being a bitch because you already know that she's not, the Haruhi in your mind is not actually the Haruhi in the present, in reality. So you deciding not to talk to her, it might make things uncomfortable, but it's not like she's not going to go about her fucking day.
Also, like, to chime in here, I think there's like a term for, it's not ghosting, I think it's called stonewalling, when you just like shut people out that way.
Yeah.
And this is like a toxic relationship trait.
Yes.
You know, done in extremes is emotionally abusive. And I know that it's Ouran High School Host Club, guys. I know. This plot just, like,
it's supposed to be fun.
It's supposed to be funny, but, like, this is super not cool. I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't like it either. And then I also don't like them trying to peer pressure her into apologizing.
Yeah. Dare we talk about Kyoya?
Right. Let's get there, because that's also a hot fudge moment too, okay?
Absolutely.
This is the trope that I hate, that I detest the most. And what do you know? We've seen it in Maid-sama.
Yep.
We saw it in Blue Spring Ride. Yep. We're seeing it in Ouran, where men feel the need to use your body and then try to be like, you're a woman. You couldn't back me off if you tried. And I'm going to pretend to pseudo as if I'm going to assault you or whatever to make you realize that you're weaker. And so you need to rely on me. Second off, you know what? All of the offs. Fuck you. No.
Yeah.
No. I would be fucking done. And that's not even outside of the fact that he said that she could pay with her fucking body. First of all, you bitch. Because wait, isn't that the next... That's the next episode. Wait, okay, I can't get into it yet. Paying with her body? With her body. So now she's a prostitute?
Yeah, and you know what? Weirdly enough, didn't Tamaki use the same verbiage when he recruited Haruhi to be the host club's dog? You could pay us back with your body.
Right.
And that was before he knew that she was a girl, but I don't know how it's connected. I just thought of that right this second, but yeah.
Right. No, it is connected because she's less than.
Right. The commoner.
Yeah, they underestimate women. They think of them as less than, even though you're doing this stuff, you're doing this host club stuff, you're trying to get their attention with your cringy pickup lines, but you think of them as less than because before, when she was a commoner, she was a dog. So she's less than human just because she's a commoner.
Yeah.
Now in this situation, she's less than human because she's a woman. And so because you think that, then you would insinuate that she should do sex work because you decided to pay these girls that you brought on this trip 50,000 yen worth of bouquets when this is entirely your fuck up.
Entirely.
Because it's your private beach, your security people that didn't do their job, and now you're trying to push it on her. And it's like, at that moment, I really wish that, you know, I mean, plot, Haruhi is Haruhi. But I really would have pushed back on that.
Oh, me too.
In Haruhi's shoes.
Me too, absolutely.
Because, no.
He's like manspreading over her. It's like, baby, you are so vulnerable right now. Like, all I gotta do is like raise my knee up real fast.
Right. I just hate this trope and like her doing that. And it's like, that's just the type of person Haruhi is, or that she's written to be. She's such a good person.
Yeah.
But also misguided that, Kyoya is doing this to reiterate what Tamaki was talking about, as if Tamaki was fucking wrong, but that, I'm weaker and what could you do to stop me and da 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 or whatever. And neither Gianna and I would ever stand behind anything that would say that women are weaker and therefore need to rely on men.
Yeah.
If you can help a woman, fucking do it. Okay, better for you to help her and maybe get scuffed up a bit than to find out the next day that she's dead in the newspaper because you didn't say something.
And also, I'm so sorry to like...
No, it's okay.
This is all very heavy. Going back to Kyoya with the bouquet of flowers, no matter who confronted those guys, those girls had to get flowers anyway. So why is he pinning it directly on Haruhi? Because it doesn't matter. It's like, the fact of the matter is those guys ended up on his private beach, so he had to send them bouquets. He should be the one paying out of pocket for that.
Right. On top of that, if I was Haruhi, I would have been like, I could sue you for emotional distress. Take some shit off of my debt, right?
Right. She's supposed to be a future lawyer.
Right.
Like, where is her, like...
Her instinct.
Arguments at, you know? And her instinct, yeah.
You took me to this beach against my will. Well, not entirely, but you took me to this beach and it wasn't part of my plans. It's supposed to be a private beach. I was in danger on your private beach. Bad things could have happened to me because your security was negligent and I had to step in. Therefore, you need to take money off of this debt, okay? So even the money that you gave to those girls, that aside, if I'm technically one of your employees, you are endangering an employee.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So I would have pushed it.
Yeah, I would have.
Yeah.
So let's jump on into I Scream, You Scream. So I just feel like none of them need to be debating on what swimsuit Haruhi should wear to the beach.
Yes.
And I don't think the twins should be commenting on her chest size.
Ooh, yes. Same.
One thing I did appreciate out of that scene, even though it's coming from, you know, the weird daddy place, it is nice that Tamaki chimed in and told them to stop harassing her.
Yes, yes. I'm glad that he did do that.
Yeah.
To compartmentalize.
Yes. Yes, quite. I also don't really know how I feel about them gamifying, trying to figure out Haruhi's fears.
Yeah, I just think that that's because of the twins, like, their stunted emotional growth.
Yeah.
They just think of things as a game, and then the other boys just follow along with it rather than being rational and just feeling like that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's just like... Haruhi's just, again, she's just trying to live her life. I mean, it made for, like, a funny sequence of Haruhi just showing how little she is afraid of. And again, when I watch this casually, I don't think about these things. This is all just for, like, making notes and really super analyzing the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, I felt like this belonged in I Scream, You Scream.
Yeah, I think, what did I have? I had, the twins, them talking around her, but they always do that. But it's like they're talking around Haruhi rather than talking to her. And then she's just like, can you stop doing that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, that's like all I had for Ice Cream, You Scream, because you mentioned mine.
Oh, okay. The last one that I had was, you know, because I love the lightning scene so much when she leaps out of the wardrobe and Tamaki's trying to help her, you know. He tries to help her out by giving her earplugs and a blindfold. And hey, maybe that's like kind of an interesting way to go about it. But the fact that they leap to calling him, you know, a perv and stuff, and that alters her view of him trying to genuinely help, made me scream.
Right. I don't know, because like, I thought that she was playing along with them. I didn't think she believed it.
Oh, I thought she seemed like actually skeeved out when she was in the car leaving.
Oh, okay. But either way, I think he was trying to help. And to be honest, if he had the lights on, then they wouldn't have thought that. Or maybe they still would have thought that, but, you know.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It would have made, it actually would have made sense, you know, for Tamaki helping her to turn the light on, because then the flash of lightning wouldn't be
as, like, dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't do that. But no. He was trying his best to, like, help. And
yeah.
I think, you know, like, getting on to Maki is, like, the usual gag of, like, the show of, like, oh, like, he's left out or he's the butt of the joke, like, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But earplugs, I just don't. I think the blindfold thing, yes, but the earplugs thing, that's not really sexy at all. Like, I mean, okay, maybe I just don't. Maybe I haven't experienced enough. Y'all can tell me. No, don't tell me. Don't.
maybe not flood our comments.
I don't need to know about your escapades in the bedroom. But
no.
me personally, I can't imagine earplugs in no. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine that in like doing like whatever. Like no.
I can't say I do either.
Yeah.
Do you want to move on to episode 9?
Yeah.
Okay. Episode 9, A Challenge from Lobelia Girls Academy. Here is our soft serve summary by Wikipedia. Benio Benibata Amakusa, head of the Zuka Club at St. Lobelia Girls Academy, chances upon Haruhi and, instantly realizing that she is a girl, tries to convince her to enroll at her school and her club. Along with two of her clubmates, they disparage the host club and men in numerous ways, revealing their lesbian natures and belief in female superiority. Tamaki's half-Japanese, half-French background is revealed, and Haruhi learns that one of her personal belongings was auctioned off on the host club's online auction site. She leaves the club in anger, and, convinced that Hadahi might be upset enough to transfer to St. Lobelia, the hosts don frilly dresses to show her that she can be around boys and girls at the same time if she remains at Ouran. Hadahi finds this hilarious, but shares that she came to Ouran Academy for a specific reason and never planned on leaving. The Zuka Club girls leave but refuse to give up, warning that they will be back for Hadahi. And that is our soft serve summary. Chika, what is your theme?
I just said it's Haruhi's choice.
Nice, nice. I kind of wrote that in a convoluted way. I put, if a person or group isn't treating someone right, that person has every right to find another person or group that will.
Right, yeah.
And no sprinkles on top?
Nope.
Not for me either. So let's head into Floats Your Boat. I will just say off the bat, I absolutely adore that instant coffee has become the preferred drink of the host club ever since Hadahi introduced them to it. And also we learned that, of course, Renge has never tried it. She's like, is this the kind of coffee where the beans have already been ground? Like, she doesn't understand the concept of it. I just like bringing the instant coffee joke back around.
Yeah, and just seeing the twins like waxing poetic about it. It reminded me of the fact that they really brought her into their world.
Yeah.
The fact that they took notice of this very specific thing, and then they're just like, you should bring us more because we want to be more in touch with what you drink or how you are.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? In connection with the twins, I love that the girls that go to the host club, the girls that frequent it, that they started thanking Haruhi for making the twins more open to talking to people.
Yes, I have that too. I feel the same way. They've come out of their shell a lot more since knowing Hadahi.
Yeah, and so it's just nice that they're able to talk to more people and entertain people and stuff. And I don't know, I just like the fact that they noticed it and they were able to tell that Haruhi was the catalyst for that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just have two more Floats Your Boat, honestly. One of mine is just Plot Banana. Another plot banana, which introduces Hadahi to Benibata, who catches her in like the sensual dip. It's a very funny moment. So melodramatic.
Yeah. I love that the Lobelia girls, when they sing, it's camp.
Oh my God.
It's so camp.
Yeah.
Especially when they start unveiling their costumes. I'm just like, okay.
Oh my God. It's so over the top.
It is. Yeah. And I think that their club, the Zuka Club, it is just Coca Light to me.
Oh my God, wait, I put it in hot fudge for some reason. I guess I was angry at the or maybe I thought it was a hot take, not so much like an angry thing. I put the Zuka Club is full of Coca rejects.
Right, yes, I feel like, because okay, so I mean, Ouran does predate Kageki Shoujo.
Yeah,
but the actual like troupe that it's based off of predates both of those, like both of the manga, like, and everything.
That's amazing.
So I feel as if like Bisco Hattori was inspired by the theater troupe, or at least the theater troupe that Coca is based off of, to like do this Lobelia like school thing. But still, just because of the fact that we reviewed Kageki Shoujo first, I was just like, oh, Zuka is Coca Light. Like,
it is. It really is. My last Floats Your Boat's like at the end of the episode, so I don't know if you want to take it away.
No, I think mine is also at the end. It's the host dress up.
Yeah, the host club in drag.
They're in drag. I said their drag makeup is crazy.
It's, oh my gosh, it's off the wall. It's amazing. It's an attempt for sure.
Yeah.
I also love that Mori just doesn't dress like a woman. Yes. He just has the tambourine.
Oh my gosh, twins. That was my last Floats Your Boat.
Yeah. He's just too masculine to do the thing.
But he's like, I got a tambourine though. But
yeah, it's like, how about this? Does this work for you? Is this keeping you around?
Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious. I loved it so much.
Yeah. You know, Hadahi's reaction's precious, just her dying laughing. And then the twins and Honey just leaning further into it just to make her laugh harder. It's very cute.
Yeah.
But that's all my Floats Your Boat. Do you have any Banana Split?
Oh, Banana Split, Tamaki's homophobia.
Oh. Yeah. Where did I put that? Oh, I put it in hot fudge just because I don't like the homophobic comments.
Right. I think the reason why I put it in Banana Split, because I mean, guys, we're part of the community, so this is going to be offensive to us regardless.
Yes.
But the reason I put it in Banana Split was because he fell on a banana peel directly after he said that shit.
Yeah, you know what? I even wrote that too. There was immediate justice. It's kind of the show being like, see, he said a stupid thing and now he's being punished for it. I probably should have put it in banana split.
Yeah. Like, that's why I put in bananas, but I was like, oh, he got punished for it.
Yeah.
But we can talk more about it in Hot Fudge, too.
No, I think that's really the gist of it. It's just that I just hated what he was saying, that there's nothing to be gained by a relationship between two women. It's like, excuse me, I think there's a lot to be gained, but
yeah,
that's fine.
Definitely. Like, fuck that. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, I very much appreciate the instant justice of, like, plot banana. There was a plot banana, right?
Yeah, and he slipped on it and then put his finger into
the burning hot coffee. Yeah, I appreciated that.
The other banana split that I had was, why did Haruhi think they weren't getting money for the host club?
Oh, like for the services?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she just was thinking about it in a traditional, like, after-school club kind of way, that they're just doing this in their spare time to build character or something.
But it doesn't make sense, because how would she be able to be paying that back if they weren't getting money?
Right. Right, it's like she didn't understand how the club works at all.
Right, that was like kind of a plot hole. It didn't really make sense with her character to question that to me.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I guess the last banana split that I had, I don't even think it's like banana split, like I'm confused. It was just more of a question of, do you think that Haruhi is actually, do you think that she's bi like us or that she's ace?
That's a good question. Honestly, like, just from watching, I get more ace vibes from her.
Right.
Just because she does not show any interest in romance, and she's just trying to, I mean, she just say it would be fun to be fussed over by a bunch of girls. So maybe she's just not super focused on that right now. And, like,
right,
she'll explore that when she's ready.
Right. I feel like she gives me ace, but the thing is that, you know, and I guess this will go into the Hot Fudge or transition into it, is that when Tamaki started describing how she was after she got pissed off at them for selling her shit, he was just like, oh, she's more in line with the Lobelia girls. But the Lobelia girls, or at least the Zuka Club, is very much so like just lesbians. But I think if, you know, Tamaki was being more attentive, then he would have noticed that she kind of wasn't feeling the Lobelia girls.
Yeah.
She just wasn't like being so physically adverse to them, I guess, to make it obvious. But yeah, like the fact that she's okay with like dressing up as a boy, like that doesn't make her a lesbian. It does make her part of the community, if we want to see it that way, but it doesn't make her that way. And he was trying to fit her into this box by saying she's like them.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
Right. It's just like another case of Tamaki kind of being ignorant.
Yeah. But yeah, let's get into Hot Fudge.
Okay. Well, I just have one. I have, you know, right when the Lobelia girls show up at the host club, Tamaki is cosplaying as a knight. So that would be why he makes a little speech about like protecting the people who come into the club. And I think it was just part of the cosplay, and he wasn't just like, you know, being like, I will protect you because he believes that kind of thing. While they retort, like, it's cool for them to be like, you know, that's presumptuous of you or whatever. But I think like going so far as to like call him a lower life form is kind of a lot. Like, I think he was just playing a part. Right. I mean, I didn't take it that seriously. It's just in Hot Fudge, because I was just like, I got kind of annoyed by the Lobelia girls very easily. So right. I think that's why it was more Hot Fudge than like banana split. I think he was just playing a part and they just decided to tear him to shreds.
Right. And you know what? I mean, I see what you're saying in that. If I had to have a Hot Fudge, I would say that what I don't like about the Lobelia girls that could be considered Hot Fudge is just in the same way that the host club doesn't allow Haruhi to have boundaries and there's dubious consent. They do the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
And to be all about women and being like they're pure maidens and we're women for women and we're doing whatever, why would you take away another woman's agency to like suit your own desires?
Right. And why are they talking about Haruhi like she's a thing that they have to come back and steal, as if she's not a person with an agency who can decide where she wants to go to school and who she wants to spend her time with?
Right. Because it's like, you know, she doesn't know you from Adam. So why would she just up and decide to change her school, her career trajectory, her schooling, just because you took an interest in her? Like, in that way, it's reminiscent of when the host club first met Haruhi and they were looking at her like a commoner. So it's like, oh, you're less than, and I'm telling you that you now have to do such and such at this club. And so here are the Lobelia girls being like, I'm disguising the fact that you're less than by talking about how we love women and like it's so enjoyable at our school. So you're just going to start coming to our school, regardless of how you feel about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I have for Hot Fudge. If you want to get into Ice Cream, You Scream.
Okay, so with Ice Cream, You Scream, what I don't particularly like in this depiction of the Lobelia girls, which it's like, I know it's an older manga, and Oren is still a catalyst in many ways of bringing certain subjects to the surface and like forward to like mainstream audiences. But this trope of lesbians hating men.
Yeah.
I don't like it because not all lesbians hate men. And while like there are men that are stupid or like kind of make your entire like sex look like trash, sex as in not actual sex, like y'all know what I mean.
Biological. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like there are some men that like they give you guys the worst name possible. But I don't think that it's right to just sort of hit lesbians against men in that way, because there are people who take that shit literally, who do actually think like that or think in more extreme ways. And it's not to say that there aren't lesbians that hate men, but I just don't think that our first introduction to lesbians should be that trope.
Yeah. I mean, and also it's like, it's an all-girls school, right?
Yeah.
Like, so we're just assuming that girls who go to an all-girls school must be lesbian.
Right. Like, no.
I mean, like, I guess to be fair, I went to an all-girls high school and I'm bi, but I didn't know that at the time. I wasn't there for anything but an education and, like, to do theater, you know? So, and it's like, I understand, you know, wanting to take down the patriarchy and not conforming to gender norms and stuff, but I feel like these girls are just outright combative.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, at like my all-girls school, we were just happy that we didn't have to do our hair for class.
Right. And it's like, it also plays into that like feminist hates men trope, right? Because if they're talking, like reading between the lines, it's like not only are there lesbians that hate men, they're also feminists as well, because we're for women, all about women.
Yeah, yeah.
Maidens this, maidens that. And I don't think that they need to portray that as well. I feel like it's hard to be a feminist, like, and stuff, because of dealing with ignorant people that don't want to understand where you're coming from. And they use, like, the few people that are like this, that, okay, the feminists that hate men or whatever, to bash all feminists, all women at large, and that's not fair. And so I just don't like that that's perpetuated.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Lobelia girls, when they were, like, fondling Haruhi, I didn't like that.
Me neither.
Like, the one girl rubbed her leg on her face.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, kick her face. Like, why are you doing that? That's fucking weird.
Right. Why are you allowing this to happen?
Yes. Like, I know that you're chill, Haruhi, but still. Like, no. Very weird. I have technically two other things, but I don't know if you have more. Because I've been talking at length, so.
Oh, I just have one other thing.
Okay.
It is that, I'm sure you have this too.
Mm.
Kyoya sold Haruhi's pencil without her permission.
Yeah.
She is rightfully very angry, and so am I.
Right, yeah. I think that him doing that is fucking weird, but then it's just like, if you're gonna auction off her stuff without telling her, then the proceeds that you make from that should go to her debt.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, why isn't she arguing these things?
I wish that she was. I would just say, if you're going to sell off my shit, okay, you can do that. But make sure that you're putting it towards that debt that I have.
Yeah.
So whatever, how much, I think it was like 60,000 yen, right? So that shit should be taken off of her.
Yeah, it was like 61K USD.
Okay, 61,000. So that should be taken off of her debt. Which, isn't that how much that shit cost, that vase?
No, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Sorry, I thought you were asking how much debt she was in.
Oh, no, I was asking about how much they got for the pencil.
I don't remember.
I think it was like 60,000 yen, but don't quote me, guys.
Okay.
But regardless, the money should go to her debt. And that they should tell her.
Yeah.
Okay. The last thing that I have, just sort of an offhand comment, but I'm going to be the one to bring this up, is, I don't know, it's like a sort of xenophobic comic about Tamaki that the Lobelia girls like made.
Yeah. Yeah.
About him being mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I have it in Ice Cream, You Scream and not Hot Fudge is because, I mean, clearly it wouldn't be my experience. I'm not mixed. But he's not the mix where I would feel combative enough to make it Hot Fudge. But I still acknowledge it, which is why it's in Ice Cream, You Scream. And I think that, you know, I know that Japan is like a homogeneous country. But there still are like mixed people that live there, and I'm sure that they could get into their experience of like growing up in Japan and not, even though they're Japanese, like not being fully accepted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have those experiences like when you're a foreigner and you go to Japan, there's places where it's just like no foreigners allowed.
Oh. Yikes.
And so even though these people could be born and raised over there, just because they're mixed, it's just like, oh, no foreigners now. But they actually are Japanese, or like they go by, you know, the way that we can be, say, like, oh, we're American, mm-hmm. like that they were raised there and everything. But just because they look different, then they're not able to enter certain establishments, which is really fucked up and should stop.
Yeah.
I felt the need to just mention it just because, like I said, it would have been more of a Hot Fudge for me if Tamaki was a different mix, right? And I think in general, you see this a lot in manga and anime where there is like this desirable character and they're mixed with like white, you know, and it's just like, oh, okay, yes, this. And like, this could even go into a whole colorism debate. I'm not really trying to go fully into that right now, but I'm saying like if Tamaki was like, oh my god, why am I like blanking on his name? It's Shota, right? From A Silent Voice. Like his niece. It's Shoya. Shoya. Sorry.
Yeah. I thought you were asking for the niece's name. I'm like, oh.
No, I don't remember her name.
Maria.
But she is mixed with black and everything. And so she's very much othered in a different way than Tamaki would be in like a similar situation, right? They would accept Tamaki before they would accept her. In any case, the reason why I said it's still Ice Cream, You Scream for me, because this is not really my battle to fight, but I would say that in general, I do think that it's fucked up when you're like living your own life and like, okay, maybe you disagree with the concept of the host club and everything, but then to just start bringing in, oh, well, I'm not going to listen to you because you're mixed. Like, that's some xenophobic bullshit. Like, what the fuck is that? You know, that's not cool.
Yeah, no, I didn't appreciate the comment either. It just, again, let people be. Yeah. Let people be. Who they are. Like, we're all, the hippie ass comment, we're all sharing this planet, you know, we might as well look out for each other.
Right, right.
I guess with that, is that episode 30?
Yep, that's episode 30.
All
and
right.
And we're 30. We're not. Well,
not yet.
Yeah, this year though.
Ooh, oh my gosh. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to our 30th episode of Shoujo Sunday. If you are enjoying our reviews of or on High School Host Club or anything we've done in the past, please consider giving us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are listening. It would help us out so much and help us reach other Shoujo fans. And if you want to keep up with us during the week, you can follow us at Shoujo Sunday across all social media platforms. And if you're interested in us personally, my name is Gianna Luna, and you can follow me at Gianna_Luna_ across socials. And how about you, Chica?
You can follow me at Chica Supreme. That's Chica with a K, not two C's.
All right, guys. We'll catch up with y'all next week for the next few episodes of War on High School Host Club. We'll see you then. Bye.